Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Pastor, where we seek to answer everyday questions with biblical answers. Now, I have three questions for today, and let me go ahead and share with you what those are. The first question says this: my question is in regards to Genesis 1:26, when God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Who else was he referring to? Us and our are plural. So was he referring to the Holy Spirit being involved in the creation of mankind? I've heard someone try to tell me that God, the mother, was part of that, which is something I do not believe in. Can you explain that God, or can you explain that passage, please? Well, yeah, I'd be more than happy to answer the question. Of course, Genesis 1:26, when God says, "Let us create man in our image, let us make him according to our likeness." Of course, God is using the plural there, and simply refers to the Trinity. God is a triune God. He is God the Father, He is God the Son, He is God the Holy Spirit. And so this is referring to all three persons of the Trinity. We believe in one God in three persons. And so when God says, "Let us make man in our image, let us make him according to our likeness," it is a reference to the Trinity. And so, yes, we worship a triune God. And so that, I hope that answers your question. I believe it does. The us and the our refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The second question that I have here says this, and this is a very interesting question, and I appreciate it, but listen to it. It says, "Hey, Pastor, the last few weeks during your messages, it seems to be that if our views don't align perfectly with yours, then we are wrong. I come from a university that you highly praise and respect. So it just seems that the ideas and theology that you put in, that they put into me, are wrong according to what you have been speaking. I find it hard because I've learned these things from peers that you have spoken very highly of. My question is then, what do I do? Do I need to leave since I don't have the same view as yours to the T? Do I need to change my view so to conform? Just curious, because it feels very uncomfortable." Well, first of all, I appreciate the question. I appreciate the person's honesty. As with all my questions, they put their name on there, so I appreciate that. And so what this person is referring to is a new sermon series that I started here at Edmonds First Baptist entitled The Revelation of Christ, and it's a series out of the book of Revelation. Now, of course, I don't hold to what is known as the pre-trib premillennial view. I used to believe that, but after further study in the scripture, I no longer hold to that view. I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which then ushers in 7 years of tribulation, culminating in the second coming of Jesus. I believe that there is a rapture, but I believe that the second coming and the rapture are the same event. They happen simultaneously. I do believe that we are in tribulation now. I do believe that Jesus Christ will literally return, that he will come back, and we will reign with him in culmination. But at the beginning of that sermon series, I said this. I was very honest about what I used to believe, pre-trib, premillennialism, and then I talked about how my view had changed after further study in the scripture, especially after writing my doctoral dissertation, which caused me to search the scripture further. And as a result, my view changed. Now listen, I don't think that you can really label what I believe as a view. I just believe what the scripture teaches. I don't know that it's any certain view. I told my congregation at the beginning of this series that I was not trying to change their view, nor was I trying to teach them a new view. All I wanted them to do was study the scripture. I believe that many people believe what they believe because that's what they've been taught, not necessarily because they've studied the scripture for themselves. So here at Edmonds First Baptist Church, I'm challenging people. I'm asking them, as it relates to eschatology, do you believe what you believe because that's what you've studied and researched for yourself? Or do you believe that because that's what you've been taught? I told them from the very beginning that they are welcome to disagree with me. And still to this day, I say that people are welcome to disagree with me. But when I preach what I believe the scripture teaches. And if that's in contradiction to what somebody else believes, then that's fine. They're welcome to believe what they want. But if I believe the scripture teaches something, I'm going to preach it strongly. Okay. And so, of course, you're welcome to disagree. I have no problem with that. I just want to ask you the question. Do you believe that what you believe about eschatology because you've studied it for yourself? That's what you believe the scripture clearly teaches because you've studied it? Or do you believe it because that's what you were taught to believe? Okay, that's all I'm asking, is to study the scripture for yourself and draw your own conclusions from the scripture. I'm not trying to teach a view of eschatology. I'm just trying to teach what I believe the scripture clearly teaches. And I'm sorry if I've made you feel uncomfortable. Of course, I'm not trying to get you to conform to my view because I'm not teaching a view. I'm just teaching the scripture and encouraging my congregation to study the scripture. The last thing that we need is another view. There's many views out there, and the last thing I want to do is to develop a new view or to teach an existing view. I just want to teach the scripture. I do believe that the scripture clearly teaches that the church replaces Israel under the new covenant. Therefore, the church is the true Israel. I believe that according to John, that we are in tribulation now. I believe that the kingdom has come. Christ has inaugurated the kingdom in his earthly ministry, but yet we are still waiting its fulfillment. I do believe in a literal return of Christ. And I believe that the return of Christ ought to affect the way we live right now. I do believe in a rapture, but I believe that the second coming and the rapture are the same event. And by the way, these are secondary issues that we are talking about. And there's room for disagreement when you're talking about a secondary issue. The primary issues are salvation in Jesus Christ. Those are the primary issues. Secondary issues, there's room for disagreement. The study of eschatology is a secondary issue. And so, therefore, there is room for disagreement. I stated that from the very beginning of my series, and I just want to reiterate that now. But if you do believe something different than what I believe, I would want you to be able to defend that from the scripture. And so, if you can, well, praise the Lord. If you can't, then you really need to think about why you believe what you believe. And so I hope that answers your question. No, you don't have to leave the church because you and I disagree. I don't want you to leave the church. And number two, I don't want you to conform just for the sake of conforming. I want you to believe what the scripture teaches. And as far as you feeling uncomfortable, well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we should be uncomfortable when it comes to studying the Bible and having our views challenged. So I hope that answers your question. My third question is this. My question is rooted from this text, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Okay, that's the scripture. Let me read it again. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, here's what the person writes. The scripture indicates that that drawing to Christ is divine in power, is dispensed in order to come to Christ. Scripture also indicates that free will does not exist. Ephesians 2:1-2 unveils that man, apart from Christ, is dead in trespasses. Our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead without the co-op of Lazarus. In Romans 7, Paul talks about how he could not do what he wanted to do and did what he hated, thus implying that he was enslaved to sin. My question is this: is everyone able to accept or reject the gospel according to their own will alone? Well, again, you know, we're back to this question of predestination, election, and so forth. And so let me just try to narrow that conversation down. Really, the question is relating to free will. Now, Martin Luther wrote a great work on the bondage of the, I think it was Luther. Okay, maybe it wasn't. I think it is. But the bondage of the will. And in that, he talks about how the will is not free. The will is under bondage because of our Adamic sin nature that we adopted from Adam. Now, of course, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had free will, and they chose to exercise their free will in rebellion against God. Since that time, the will is bound. It's in bondage. It's in bondage to our sin nature. And so the idea of free will, as this person indicates, seems to not align with Scripture, because since we do have a fallen nature, the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. A part of that deadness is our will. Our will is dead. That's why I have always used the phrase moral responsibility. God holds each person morally responsible to receive or to reject Christ. So to answer your question, your question is this: is everyone enabled to accept or reject the gospel according to their own will alone? I would say this, that God holds every man and woman responsible. He holds them morally responsible to reject or to receive Christ. Everyone is morally responsible, okay? And so that's how I would answer that question. Now, is it based upon their free will alone? No, it's not based upon their free will. The free will of man is bound. It's in bondage to sin. Man is dead apart from Christ. And so apart from God's sovereign election, apart from regeneration, man would never receive Christ by faith. And so I pray and hope that that answers your question. Thank you once again for tuning in to Ask the Pastor. Continue to encourage others to subscribe. Please share. And I look forward to your questions next week. God bless.